Murder and Moonshine, a true crime podcast with a southern twist. Hey y'all, welcome back to Murder and Moonshine. This is Christy.
And this is Misty. And today it is part two of Christy's story.
It is. And it's going to be a crazy ending to a crazy story.
This is where it starts getting real rough, isn't it?
It's rough. And it's going to be hard considering we're still drunk from part one.
I know for everybody else, it's 2024. And I hope that you guys brought in the new year with some good juju. And that 2024 is treating you good so far. But for us, it is still 2023.
New Year's Eve.
We are still drinking on the Tennessee Shine straight off the steel.
Straight off
corn whiskey.
The steel.
135 proof.
135.
Yes.
Kicking my ass.
Yes. I'm so glad I'm not telling the story.
We're going to make it, though. We're going to make it. This is a great story.
Speaking of good stories, we are going to have so many good stories coming up for you guys in 2024.
The murder list is long.
It's long and distinguished.
We love a good case. Like a good case we can really dissect.
Right.
And really get into, you know.
Yeah. The wilder, the better.
Yes. Yeah. We love them. Yeah. Love them.
Speaking of 2024, I did look up the Virgo horoscope.
I know you did. You like to stay on top of your
just
yearly.
Just like on the year, just to see. And the first one I read, I decided that I would reject that one.
He's going,
I'm going to say I don't accept that because it said like the first half of the year was going to be, you know, just fine. And then the second half of the year would just be pretty bumpy.
No, we don't want any bumps in
the
road.
So I was like, I am going to choose to not accept that information. Yes, and then I hunted to find a horoscope that told me how amazing the year was going to be and fantastic. And I decided to choose that one.
Okay. All right.
I didn't look up the Pisces one.
I did. I looked up Pisces for the year. You know, I'm on that train.
Did it say you were going to have a fantastic year?
Matter of fact, it said that there was top three signs that were going to have a prosperous, fulfilling year. And Pisces was number one.
So maybe I can ride your coattails.
Please do.
Through the year.
Come on. I got you. Come on. We down for this ride.
Well, you know what, then? On that note, I think we should take a shot for all the horoscope signs.
All the signs.
For 2024.
Here's your positive.
That's right. We're sending good juju. We
cleansing.
Hope every sign has an amazing year. It's going to be the best year ever.
It is. 2023 has been hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year to get through.
It's been a little bumpy.
It's been, 2024.
Got to send it in with good, positive energy.
100%.
It's going to be our year.
Cheers, bitches.
Holy shit. I'm starting to find.
I may start 2024 at the doctor's office.
It's so burning in my chest right now.
Okay.
But I'm starting to find those higher proofs. I feel like it eats the chapstick off my lips.
I literally have to keep
chapstick here with me now since that 128.
Yeah, I feel like it eats everything from the inside out.
It's doing that right now in my body, I feel like.
I still feel the heat.
I do too.
At what point is it going to stop being hot?
I don't know that it ever will be.
I mean, I feel in my stomach.
I feel like we are drinking Satan's water.
You did. In part one, you did say it was the unholy water.
But did priests try to bless it?
Yeah.
Just catch on fire.
Well, all right, y'all bear with us today. Like we said in part one, we're coming off the chitis. I don't know if it's the bronchitis, the cyanitis. I don't know what itis it is, but we had it.
So we're still coughing because it's still the same day.
Still coughing,
part one.
Still sniffling. It's been rough. It's been rough, but it is getting better. We are on the mend.
We are.
And I'm feeling really good today.
Yeah. That 135 got you open.
I don't know if that's coincidental, but feeling pretty damn good today. So to recap part one.
Yes.
We're talking about Fritz Klenner Jr. and Susie Newsom.
Fucking Susie.
Lynch, after she marries Tom. Mm-hmm. So these prominent families out of North Carolina, have been joined by marriage.
Right.
And their offspring.
Their vile offspring. She probably has 666 tattooed somewhere on her head.
I don't know. But she enjoyed the loving of her cousin.
Mm.
She preferred cousin loving. And he did too as well. So we have two first cousins that are madly in love in a incestual sexual romp.
Just emphasize incestual.
I need to know that. I need you all to know it's unacceptable. I mean, the bloodline is so fucking similar. Come on. First cousins.
Yeah. But something's already wrong with them too.
Your mama and her mama is sisters. I mean, I feel like I can't emphasize that.
Yeah. Enough. I mean, it is a very disturbing part.
If y'all hunted the same motherfucking Easter eggs at your family gatherings as children.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shouldn't be on that dick.
And basically, period. If y'all got the same grandma.
Yeah. You cannot be on the same.
Mm-mm.
You are 100% correct. Yeah. You can't be riding nobody's dick that's got the same damn grandma
exactly.
You do. By blood. This ain't marriage. This is blood.
Right. Right.
I feel like we got a little off.
It's a disturbing. It takes you down a tunnel there.
It did. So back to the story. We know Susie's sleeping with her first cousin, Fritz.
Yes.
She has left her husband, Tom.
Right.
Took the two boys back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to gain full custody and just screw Tom over in the divorce.
Right.
In every way possible. And on the other side of the family, we have Fritz, who is pretending to be a doctor
mm-hmm.
and has taken over seeing patients.
Mm.
At his father's practice.
That is crazy.
Fucking insane. Motherfucker has no medical training whatsoever.
Crazy.
Meanwhile, he's telling everyone that he's in the CIA
Mm-mm.
and that he was in Vietnam
Mm-mm.
and he is a undercover agent.
Yeah.
He is stockpiling weapons and cyanide and ammunition, and he's a doomsday prepper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the people that we're dealing with. Well, after Tom's mom and his sister were murdered,
mm-hmm.
you know, a year's gone by, there are no leads. Tom is, other than his wife, full on fucking alone. He's not
right.
allowed to talk to his kids, not allowed to see his kids.
And his entire immediate family has
been wiped out. Yes. So Tom starts talking to Susie's parents and basically just pleading his side. Desperately begging to have more time with his children.
Right.
All he wants is just to have more time. He doesn't want custody. He just wants to be able to see and care for his children.
As he should be able to.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't care if you do live in another state. Shit happens.
Right.
But people put your shit aside and do what's best for the children.
Absolutely.
And obviously,
yeah.
Susie was incapable of doing that. He just started telling them how he felt towards the custody agreement. He told them how he felt about how the boys were being cared for, or more likely not being cared
for. Right.
He said that they didn't seem like they got to play or just be normal kids at all. And the Newsoms wrote back. I mean, you got to remember, this is 85. We're still
right.
doing some snail mail. No emails exist.
Yes.
We're doing real handwritten letters.
Right.
So they wrote them back and they agreed.
Oh, wow.
They agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Somebody needs to see some kind
so
of reasoning in this.
Bob and Florence are like, you know what? They do need to spend more time with their father. And maybe Susie is not taking care of them
right.
the best she can. In this letter, the Newsoms wrote that they would like for the boys to be able to spend more time with Tom. They believe that's what was best for the children. So, given this letter he had in his hands,
mm-hmm.
Tom had his lawyer to petition the court
mm-hmm.
for a new custody hearing. And this hearing was granted, and it was decided the Newsoms, Susie's parents, would testify at this custody hearing on behalf of Tom.
Wow.
That
well,
he
good
received,
for the grandparents, though. Yeah,
that he received more contact and visitation with his sons.
Yeah. At least somebody is advocating for the kids.
Yes.
On her side. So that's...
But it didn't take long for Susie to find out.
Right.
So when she finds out her parents are doing this for Tom, she takes that as a total betrayal.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she was irate. I mean, beyond. She told her parents that Tom was involved with the mob.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why his mama and his sister got killed.
Mm.
So she's feeding them some bullshit. She also told him that she learned this information from Fritz, and he knew what he was talking about because he's in the CIA.
Oh, my gosh.
So the new custody hearing is set for May 26, 1985. And that date is important.
May 26, 1985.
At this point, up until this point, Susie was still living with her parents. But while they were talking to Tom simultaneously, Fritz is living with Susie, who is living with her parents.
Oh.
So he's basically at their house all the time. He's on the couch sleeping. When they wake up
and
in the morning, he's there.
Parents aren't like, this is weird.
100% they are.
Okay.
They're very suspicious. They don't like finding him on the couch. They don't like him spending so much time there. They notice how they're touching each other. I mean, you
can tell when somebody's a couple.
Versus, like, if they were brother and sister.
Right.
Brother and sister do not physically interact the same way a couple interact.
Sure. Yeah.
So they started noticing some shit that wasn't adding up. Susie's mother, Florence, was particularly repulsed.
Yes.
So she decides to confront Susie. She tells her that she demands she stop seeing Fritz. Eventually, you know, they have this huge argument. And Susie ends up packing up the boys and moving out into an apartment in Greensboro and didn't tell her parents where she was for weeks.
Mm.
For weeks. They had no idea where Susie or the boys were.
Right.
By this time, most of the people in the family knew about the relationship with Susie and Fritz.
Right.
I mean, shit starts coming out. You know, families. You got... All these people involved.
Yeah.
All these
everybody's
people see
calling
what's
everybody
going
else
on.
Blake, did you see that shit the
exactly,
other day?
Exactly. Susie became estranged from most of her family, including her grandmother, Hattie, who she had always been so close to. Hattie is her father's mother.
Yeah.
And her aunt, Susu, which is the first woman of Congress.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
She just stopped talking to everybody, was estranged from her whole family because of the disapproval of her and Fritz's relationship.
Right.
So Sunday, May 19th, 1985, Bob and Florence Newsom, Susie's parents, failed to show up for a family gathering. So their son, Robert, called a friend slash neighbor and asked them to go check on his parents. So Bob and Florence were at the home of Hattie, which is Bob's mother,
okay,
Susie's grandmother, for a visit. So they didn't come back home and get together with the family like they were scheduled to
do. So the family was supposed to be meeting at their house.
Yes, and they were not there.
And they were still at the grandmother's
yes.
house.
So their son, Robert, which is Susie's brother, he called this family friend neighbor of Hattie's and mm-hmm. said, will you go check on the house and see what's going on. The neighbors were like, yeah, we'd be glad to. It's a couple, an older couple.
Right.
They walk over next door, knock on the door. There's no answer at the front door. So they walk to not even the side of the house. It was the front of the house and peer in the window and see bodies all over the room.
Oh, my God.
So let's stop right there.
Yeah,
and
we need a shot.
Let's take a little shot. This is pretty much like a gruesome, unimaginable scene. Even for like seasoned officers.
Right.
But can you imagine just being an elderly couple? Can you
that is the kind of elderly couple we'll be.
Can you imagine being an elderly couple? I'm gonna start talking even slower right now. And just walking over next door and seeing it, like a room full of dead bodies. Yeah. No, I can't. No. I can't.
Yeah, let's get a shot for that. Yeah. So fill your cup up, whatever you're drinking on.
Cheers, bitches. I just had my chaser ready directly after that.
I did the same. Ooh. Yeah, that makes that makes recovery time better. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me gather my papers here and make them real close.
Real straight. Real close and straight and real in order.
Neat. How the fuck did I get neat and close? That's what 135 does to your brain,
it
ladies
does.
And gentlemen.
It does.
It has fucked mine up. My God, that was so country. Oh, my God. Okay, back to the story. Sunday, May 19th, 1985. And the reason I'm repeating that date is because I told you to remember the date.
The May 26th.
Yes. So we're talking about a week's difference.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, May 19th was literally the week before the custody hearing was supposed to take place.
Right.
And obviously that's important. Once these neighbors saw what was in this living room, they immediately called police.
Mm-hmm.
When the detectives arrive, they walk in and find that Bob, Florence, and Bob's mother, Hattie, who is 84 years old, have all been murdered. Bob is laying on the floor at the bottom of a staircase. Florence is laying face down on the floor. And this is really hard right here, so brace yourselves. 84-year-old Hattie was slumped over. So she was slumped over a recliner. So Hattie had been on her knees and had her hands clasped when she was murdered.
Like she was praying, kinda?
Hattie was 100% praying.
Oh, no.
As she was murdered.
Oh, Hattie. Oh.
And so she was in front of the chair on the floor on her knees and facing the recliner, like had her arms up on the chair.
No.
And died literally in that same position. How sad is that?
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. That's horrible.
Poor
horrible.
Hattie.
When they start examining the bodies, they also realize Florence has been stabbed. Not only shot, but stabbed.
Oh, wow.
And her throat has been slit almost from ear to ear. Mm. Like, this is a very grisly crime.
Yeah.
And when you have a personal stabbing, a knife is personal.
Yeah.
Especially if you take the time to slit somebody's throat.
Right.
If they've been shot and you feel the need to stab them more.
Right.
And
kind of
roll them over and slice their throat. Like,
right.
That's fucking horrible. Horrible. So they knew that it had to be personal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It had to be a personal motive. Also, Florence's left ring finger was cut in a way that her wedding ring had been bent, but the diamond engagement ring was gone.
Oh.
Other valuables in the house were left out in the open, but the only other contents from the entire house that were missing,
mm-hmm,
were from Bob's briefcase.
Oh, so some paperwork.
Paperwork.
Mm.
So the only thing we have missing is paperwork and a diamond engagement ring and three dead bodies. So detectives have no leads. They have no freaking idea who would come in here and do this.
Yeah, because this is before DNA
people.
And stuff, yeah. Too. Yeah.
So they start, like, reaching out to the next of kin to inform them of what has happened. So they're not reaching out for suspects. They're just reaching out to pass on the news.
Yeah.
This is what has happened to these family members. And as they start calling the Newsom family and telling them, they're devastated, but they all want to give the Forsyth County detectives the same fucking name.
Mm.
The only name of Bob and Florence's daughter, Susie.
Hell yes, Susie.
So you have family members that are just hearing about this grisly murder.
And they
fucking
automatic.
Grisly. And they're automatic. Wait a minute.
Automatic.
Where's Susie? Susie's involved.
Yes.
Talk to Susie. And when you have multiple people saying that,
right,
you don't take that shit with a grain of salt. There's something to that. Then the Forsyth County detectives were informed about the murders that took place in Kentucky a year ago. which is Tom Lynch's parents, or no, excuse me, mother and sister.
Right.
That has went cold. They have not had any more suspects in that case.
And the common denominator between those two. Right.
When you start putting together what connects these two,
right,
is Susie and the grandchildren. The only thing connecting this family, these two families states away, is Susie and the grandchildren.
Right.
How did her mother-in-law and her mother both end up like this? The police contacted Susie the next day and notified her that her mother, her father, and her grandmother, who at one time she was very close to, had been murdered in like a vicious, severe crime. Susie had no reaction. She asked the police if they would help her look for her dog that had run off.
What?
She asked the police if they would help her look for her dog that had run off.
So they just come and give you this devastating news that your family is gone. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, oh, well, look, can y'all help me look for my dog?
Exactly.
That's 100%. Crazy.
So Tom, who's still in Albuquerque at the dental office.
Right.
He learned of the murders. He finds out that Susie's mom, her dad, and her grandma's been murdered. And he's like, there is no fucking way that this is a coincidence.
Right.
There's no fucking way. It
and if I were him, I'd be scared to death that I was next.
Right? Well, the first thing he did was contact the police in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to know, number one, this is 1 week before our custody hearing where her parents were going to testify against Susie in my favor.
Right.
He wanted them to know that, you know, Fritz Klinner was fucking crazy. He felt like that they should be looking into him more than Susie. And he was the one who told the officers in Greensboro that Fritz was obsessed with weapons and was having a sexual relationship with his cousin, his first cousin.
Oh, that don't taste good, does it?
Which is his ex-wife.
Yeah, those words just don't taste good.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of shit.
That's so much.
It's a lot.
Can you imagine being the detective, you taking this note down?
Right, you're talking about, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Fucking a cousin. What? You putting that down?
You trying to map all this shit together. You the ex-husband. Your mama got killed.
Was it 5 murders right now?
And now her mama got killed, but she fucking her cousin.
But hold on, let me get my...
let me get my supervisor.
Hang on.
Exactly. That's why I told you I had to print out and keep up.
Try to keep everybody straight.
Yeah. So that I could fully understand. And I hope I'm relaying it correctly because I studied it.
I'm drinking 135 proof.
But you follow me.
But I'm with
you. That's right.
I'm
with
you.
I know. So the police now have been given 2 names by several people of the same family.
Right.
They have Susie, they have Fritz. So that's leading them in their
search. Direction.
Direction, well, that's the word.
By vowel.
How come when I totally blank on what word I'm supposed to, I look at you and just from my look, you know you're supposed to answer that word. Like, you know I don't know what word I'm trying to say.
You know, I guess it's just been years.
It is. It's years of friendship. This is what has come. She can finish my sentences. But this bitch, I'm going to tell you right now, will talk in incomplete sentences.
They might be incomplete, too.
In a hot minute. She is ADD.
Yeah.
And she talks to me in a foreign language, and I follow it 99% of the time. But
sometimes I've already had the conversation in my head, and I just didn't verbalize it.
Yes.
And so she don't know where I'm at.
But I'm expected to know, and I'm expected to keep up.
And I'm like, oh, I thought I said that.
99% of the time I do, but that 1%, you leave me speechless.
Like, I did say it in my head, though.
Like, what are you talking about? You left me like 3 sentences ago. I have no idea. So now police have these 2 names of the same 2 people given by several members of the same family.
Right.
And while they're looking into Fritz, in the same time, they're looking into Susie. And they find out that Susie is listed in her parents' will after they're gone to receive several million dollars. Mm. That is to be split between her and her brother.
Right.
But I'm not talking 1 million. I'm not talking 2 million. I'm talking with the estate, with all the money combined, we're several million dollars.
Right.
So even if she did split that with her brother, She's still going to be a millionaire.
Right.
So now detectives have enough info that they want to speak to Susie and Fritz themselves. Because at this point, other than informing her of what had happened to her mother, father, and grandmother, they've not interviewed them. They've not questioned them.
Right.
So they head out to Susie's apartment in Greensboro, where Fritz is living as well. Susie answers the door, and her two young boys are in the same room, the living room.
Mm-hmm.
When they first walk in, the first thing they notice is the apartment is like super cluttered and messy. There's just shit everywhere.
Right.
But when they take a closer look at the clutter, they realize it's not just shit. It's actually military surplus equipment and survival gear.
Mm.
I mean, when you first walk in and there's just stuff everywhere, it's overwhelming.
Right. But you get to sit in there and you're looking around.
And
you're
start like, looking around. You're like, that's that. And that's that. And
why does he need all this?
Right. You're going down the list. And it's just all kinds of crazy equipment and survival gear for the end of the world that he truly believes is coming.
Right.
So while they're talking to Susie, Fritz finally comes into the room. Like, I don't know if he'd been in the bedroom or what, but he makes an appearance, and he is wearing an olive green military flight suit.
Mm.
So, you know, that's like the whole...
Girl, what if they was role-playing before the Popo got there?
The whole zip-up get-up.
Yeah.
I think that's just his normal attire. Like, he had lied so much about being in the CIA and in the military. I think that's just the life he wanted to live.
Right.
So he presented that persona
all the time.
Not when necessary, but all the time.
I wonder if he was like seeing patients with like military outfits on.
Well, the pictures I've seen, he was not. He was in shirt, tie, doctor's coat for the pictures I've seen.
So he knew how to play the role.
Yes, 100%. You know, yeah.
He didn't leech some of that crazy out into the visits. You know, because if my doctor was sitting there and he had military gear on talking about he was in the CIA and in Vietnam and now he's a doctor, I'm like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
I don't think that he, I don't know. Maybe he told, I don't think that he told his patients that. I think it was a different persona that he put on at work.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So while they're questioning Susie, she still had no emotions about her family being slaughtered, like at all. She told them that she nor Fritz had anything to do with the murders, that she was at home with the boys all day, and Fritz had been on a camping trip that weekend with a friend of his.
Mm.
Detectives noted how completely emotionless Susie was while talking about her mother, her father, and her grandmother being brutally fucking slaughtered and murdered. I mean, her poor little grandmother was praying.
I know, that hurts and my heart for her.
She had no emotion. I mean, like, she could care less.
Because she didn't care.
She didn't care. They did not tell her, however, that several members of her own family had given her name as a person of interest.
Honestly, that's probably a good idea because she'd have probably took them out, too.
Who knows what she would have done, right? So detectives, you know, decide Susie and Fritz are their number one suspects. They put all their energy into digging up information on this relationship and on these two people to find any clues as to why all these people have been murdered. So we talked about Dr. Klinner already passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shortly before Dolores and Janie were murdered in Kentucky.
Right.
Over a year has passed. Fritz has taken over this family practice over a fucking year.
That is crazy.
That he's pretending to be a doctor. I mean, he presented himself to community as a fully licensed and board certified physician.
That is so crazy.
Had him some made up paperwork and everything. He went like all out, whatever he needed to do to prove it. He was going to prove it.
So conniving.
Detectives contact Duke University and they find out Klinner, the only Klinner to ever graduate from Duke, was his father in 1936. Fritz had never even been enrolled in classes at Duke.
Wow.
Police learn Fritz is basically just a survival nut who collects guns and military equipment. He's prepping for doomsday, has all these provisions, guns, and ammunition ready. So they're piecing together everything about his life is a lie.
They're putting together his crazy puzzle one piece at a time.
And the biggest piece was when they called Duke and they're like, no, he ain't no damn doctor. He didn't graduate from here.
They're like, Clinton who?
Yeah. The only Clinton was in the 30s.
Yes.
Not recently. Soon they discovered that Susie was in fact just infatuated. I said that wrong. Was in fact just as infatuated.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm with you now.
As Fritz, about buying guns and survival gear and stocking his armory. I mean, she totally fell into everything he told her, and she's working her damnedest
to make sure they have supplies for the end of the world.
The supplies they need. The couple had spent a small fortune on guns and survival gear in the past year, including buying a 223 AR-15
one of the sight rifles.
Assault rifle.
Right.
This was the same type of gun that they knew killed Dolores and Janie because they found the one shell casing inside the house.
Right.
Now, in the 80s, an AR-15 was an extremely expensive gun and a very rare gun.
Mm-hmm.
I think now in 2023, they're a lot more common.
Right.
But back then, hard to get a hold of because they were outlawed in the United States.
Right.
So he had to buy it on the black market. He had to pay a lot of money for it. But he had it.
He was prepared.
When they're looking into Susie and Fritz's alibi, they decide to go and talk to the friend that Fritz went camping with. This friend is 21-year-old Ian Perkins. So let's just take a little shot. You're going to need some alcohol to understand what the fuck Ian is doing in this situation.
Yeah. I really thought that you were going to tell me that the friend was complete bullshit, but obviously, he's not, so.
Fill it up. Cheers, bitches. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, the story about camping with a friend was not complete bullshit. It was 10% truth. So, the police go and talk to this 21-year-old kid right at his house, Ian Perkins. Perkins was a friend of Fritz who wholeheartedly believed Fritz was in the CIA.
Bless
now, this kid was very naive. I mean, he's 21, yeah. Number one.
Yeah.
And he had an uncle that legit worked for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought this was the coolest shit ever, right? And somehow or another, I don't know how, he met Fritz. Fritz told him about being in the CIA. Mm. And so this kid thought, if I befriend him,
right,
he can get me in with his connections.
Because gotcha.
Perkins wanted to be in the CIA. Well, Fritz knew all well that he wasn't in the CIA, number one.
Right.
And he could see how desperate and naive this kid was.
Sure.
So he's like, I'm going to use this motherfucker absolutely as much as I can.
Bless his heart.
When police get to his house and question him, he was super scared. And I mean cracked. Immediately,
right?
Like didn't just hold anything like a canary. Back. I'll tell you anything you want to know. He told him everything. He told him that Fritz was working with the CIA and that he was on a covert operation for the weekend in question.
Mm-mm. Listen,
so they were not in fact camping, but Fritz had told him, if you assist me with this undercover covert operation, then I will use you for future missions.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. The CIA is never going to ask
a kid
your ass to help them on a covert mission.
They don't need a citizen's help. They are trained to take care of said covert mission.
If you ever got somebody coming up telling you some shit like that, you can be like, right, I'm going to pass.
Well, Ian Perkins thought that Fritz, like, hung the moon because he totally believed.
Yeah, he idolized him.
He thought Fritz was a Green Beret in Vietnam.
Damn, he's everything.
He has been. He told him he'd worked for the FBI and didn't like it. And that's why he settled with the CIA.
He just settled on the CIA.
Perkins believed every fucking word he said.
Bless his heart. That's all I can say about
Perkins. And he told the police that Fritz was training him, that he was in like day-to-day training operations.
He's like, I just ain't got my badge yet, but I'm working on it.
That he was going to be a field agent and that this trip was his final exam.
Oh my gosh. Bless his heart.
Fritz wanted Perkins to drop him off on the weekend of May 17th and then pick him back up in a neighborhood in Winston-Salem. Fritz told Perkins he was doing a professional CIA hit.
Oh my gosh.
And that he was going to take out 3 very dangerous drug dealers. The drop-off point was a half a mile from Hattie's house, where Hattie and Florence and Bob were. So we have this kid.
I mean, just.
Who's been brainwashed. He truly believes Fritz is in the CIA, that he served in the military. He was a fucking Green Beret. He's been in the FBI. He's the coolest.
And so many things.
Feeding him all kinds of stories and bullshit.
Right.
And he's like, if you pass this final test, you get your badge. And so he was fucking excited to do it. He thinks he's going to take out some drug dealers. When actually he's going to take out an 86-year-old grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
She couldn't be further from the truth. So the investigators told Ian Perkins, number one, Fritz is a motherfucking lie. Okay.
Yes.
Everything, everything he's told you is a lie. He ain't in the CIA. He ain't no undercover mission. He ain't done shit but murder 3 innocent fucking people.
Right. And that's when you would say, I would be surprised if Fritz could spell CIA correctly.
Fuck? And has all these people convinced that he's in it? It's crazy.
Crazy.
Well, Ian Perkins was horrified to find out the details. I truly believe this was just a dumb, naive kid.
Yes, yes.
I truly believe.
I feel bad for him.
He
fed
into everything that he was told.
Right.
He didn't have anything to do with the actual murders.
Right.
All he did was drop him off and pick him up.
Right.
So when he found out what he had actually helped him do, he was horrified.
I would be too.
He felt horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. So he's like, look, why don't I wear a wire and go talk to him, get him to confess, give him the information. He was so eager to give these cops what they wanted. He was like, I will wear a wire and go talk to them.
I mean, and that's brave on his part after knowing what this guy
has
done.
What he's actually capable of doing. Right. So that's exactly what they did. They hooked this kid up with a wire and he got a hold of Fritz, contacted him, and Fritz agreed to meet. So when Fritz picked him up at his house, Ian immediately starts asking about the murders because it's all in the headlines by now.
Yeah.
And it's very close to where they were.
Right.
He's a little, you know,
freaked out.
Freaked the fuck out about what has happened. Fritz stuck to his story about his undercover CIA work, that he did what he was sent to do. No worries. And he never said anything incriminating. So
he's just smart enough.
So Fritz gets dropped off. I mean, I said that wrong. Ian gets dropped off by Fritz and brings nothing back to the police. Nothing. So they ask him if he'll meet again. So the very next day, June 3rd, 1985, very important date, the two men meet again. Perkins kept asking about the murders. He kept telling him, look, you have to know something. You were literally at the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
If you're a fucking CIA agent, how do you not know about the shit that took place over there?
Right.
Or how do you not have any details? And finally, Fritz tells him, look, he never confessed, but he says, look, if you are ever to be picked up and questioned by the police, I will write a handwritten statement that will exonerate you.
Oh my God.
From any further questioning, from any further anything. And that's all he ever got out of Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of their conversation, as Fritz is pulling back up at Ian Perkins' house to drop him off, he looks him dead in the eye and he says, "This will be the last time we speak." Well, with him wearing a wire, everybody stationed nearby listening to this conversation, that freaks them out because they're like, "What do you mean this is the last time they're going to speak? Why? Right. Why is this the last time they're going to speak? What is this motherfucker about to do?
Right.
What's about to happen?" All the police immediately call for backup. They're like, "Some shit is about to go down."
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what, but something is going. They all had the
Somebody's
going to
need a 24-hour tail.
Something is happening. And they wanted to stop Fritz before anybody else got hurt. Because right. at this point, they truly believe he was either directly or indirectly involved with both the murders in Kentucky and in North Carolina.
Right.
That him and Susie are behind it somehow, absolutely. Some way. And they don't want anybody else to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So they want to stop him immediately. They don't want him to even make it back to his house because they've been in his house. They've seen all the survival equipment. They've seen all the weapons, all the ammunition. I mean, this motherfucker is stocked for days.
Right.
And they think if he makes it back there, he's going to load up. And sure, that's going to be that. That's going to be that. Well, they had to obtain a warrant first. Mm. Proper law is you ain't going to search somebody's house without a warrant or vehicle or anything.
Right.
Well, the warrant takes time to get approved.
Yeah.
So he had already left Ian's house right. on his way home. Obviously, he had made it home before the warrant was approved. Police surround the building because he's living in that apartment with Susie.
Right.
So they surround this apartment building and they're just waiting on Fritz to come back out. It's in the middle of the day. They know that the boys should be in school,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know where Susie is. They don't know where Fritz is, and they don't know how armed they are. They're unaware.
There's too many unknowns.
Too many unknowns, right. Yeah. And you cannot just like fucking open fire on an apartment complex. Come on. So they surround the building in all points and just wait. They're waiting on him to come back out. Mm-hmm. So it's just a waiting game. While they're sitting there waiting, Fritz does eventually emerge, but they're stunned to see that not only is Susie with him, but the two boys are with him as well.
Oh.
So they did not send the school kids to school that day.
Mm. And they didn't want to scare the kids.
Right. They're not going to risk hurting those children
right.
in some kind of damn crazy shootout.
Yeah, because what if he tries to hold them hostage or something crazy like that?
Right. So the boys didn't go to school that day. They're right in the middle of this fucking chaos. And it's obvious Susie and Fritz are going to flee because not only are they carrying bags and suitcases, but the two boys are carrying bags as well. So they watch them pack up the back of this Blazer, put the boys in the back seat, and then them get in it as well. So they know they're fucking getting out of here. It's right. obvious.
Right.
Obvious. But even seeing this, they're still not going to bum rush them because they know he's fully loaded. He had all the motherfucking weapons.
Right.
He's going to use one of them.
Right.
I mean, come on. They know that they have a lot of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
You struggled through it, but I think you did. It was ammunition and you got it. But I felt the uncertainty in the okay. word. You know?
I looked at you with but that you look. Did. I gave you the look. Let's just stop right there.
And take another shot because that's going to help.
One more shot.
That's going to help.
Of this 135.
It's going to be like 195 when we do.
It's always a good fucking idea to take another shot of that. Cheers, bitches. Oh, that was a good glow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm.
Still no better. It's still no better. Oh, I'm going to slur my way right through the rest of this motherfucking story. I hope you're ready. Police decide that the risk is just not worth it. Trying to arrest them right. in the parking lot of this apartment complex is not worth the risks involved, yeah. considering the other citizens and especially the two boys
right.
that they know are in the vehicle. So at this point, they just call for backup. They have every available unit possible, responding for backup, and they follow Fritz onto the highway. Now, once they get onto the highway,
I was thinking that made me think of the OJ.
Bitch.
Like, white Bronco, shitload of police officers behind him.
It's so funny you said that because this is a Bronco.
Shut the fuck
up. Bitch, it is a Bronco. It's a 1980s model Bronco, but it's a not like the white Bronco OJ was in.
Right, but still.
But it's a fucking Bronco, 100%.
So then they're following him. Does he not notice?
He 100% noticed the immense police presence behind him. And they have their blue lights on, but it's not like a high-speed chase. Once some of their backup gets there, they're following Fritz onto the highway, they flip on their lights. So he is 100%.
Wow.
Aware.
So it is like the OJ.
100%.
What?
Yes. It's a slow moving.
I did not know North Carolina had its own OJ.
Girl,
thing.
We did. We had OJ our own OJ chase. He wasn't in the NFL, though. He's just crazy.
This is true.
As
but
fuck.
Yeah.
So they're all following him down the highway. And one police officer decides to pull up beside of him. I mean, this, like I said, it's not a high pursuit, high speed chase. So he just pulls up beside him. He's going to be like on his megaphone, fucking pull over. Yeah. What are you doing? Pull over. Well, before he could even do any of that, Fritz rolls his window down, pulls out his Uzi and begins firing.
Shut the front door. What?
So they're on, and I know it's because we're from North Carolina and I've been on these roads before. They're on fucking West Friendly Avenue, bitch. So that was considered the highway in the 80s because Friendly's a four lane, you know. So they're on West Friendly Avenue on North College Road.
Oh.
And he has rolled his window down and has shot Police Sergeant Tommy Dennis twice in the chest. But he had his vest on.
He had his bulletproof vest on.
So he survived. Thank God. I mean, obviously he stopped. That stopped his...
I cannot believe I've not heard about this.
That stopped his, you know, pursuit in this chase. But because he pulled up beside of him to try to get him to pull over, he was shot twice in the chest with a fucking machine gun. And I've seen the crime scene photos. Like I said, there's a lot. You can go online and see a lot of photos of this. The car that the officer was in, the patrol car, the bullet came through the windshield. So you can see the hole in the windshield of the car.
Wow.
Where the two bullets came through to hit him. And it's just, I mean, it is a miracle that he's alive.
Yeah, that's literally what I was thinking. How did it not hit him in the head? Or
it hit him in the chest. And thank God for the vest. Because, you know, you always see people in movies, whatever, they have the vest on. And you're thinking, okay, well, what good is that going to do if you get hit in the head?
Right.
Well, this is a perfect fucking example.
This is true.
That you don't always get hit in the head. What if you get hit in the chest?
Yeah.
And it saves your fucking life.
Right.
Right. So now the police know that this shit's gone sideways. Right. Like, this is going to come down to a shootout. There is no other option.
Yeah.
And once he fired upon that patrolman, they did return fire.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was hit.
Right.
I will say that. They did return fire, but nobody was hit. But they knew this is going to come down to either you or me.
Right.
There is no in between. But the shootout would never happen. We have all these officers that have surrounded this Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of speeding up, the Bronco seems to be slowing down.
Right.
And it actually comes to a complete stop in the road. And they're thinking, oh, fuck, this is it.
Yeah.
So they get out of their vehicles. A lot of them get out of their vehicles, position themselves to, you know, for fucking war, basically.
Right.
They're going to battle it out at this point. And before any shots are fired, the Bronco explodes.
What?
Explodes.
What? I did not see that one coming.
Let's take a shot.
Yeah, let's do.
It's about to get
let's do that
even
you know
uglier.
What? Let's take a shot for all those police officers that were
even involved in that,
right?
Shit.
Battling against a machine gun. I mean,
hell yeah. And then they're bracing themselves for fucking war, and it explodes in front of their face. I can't imagine that. I'm not a war person.
No.
I am the opposite of that. I'm going to sit home and watch it on TV and read about it all day, but I'm not going to live that life.
Right.
So to imagine watching this shit happen.
I couldn't fathom.
Right before
and knowing
your
that
eyes,
there are two kids in there.
They know the kids are in there. Mm. They know Susie's in there. Fritz is in there. It's horrible. So that motherfucker exploded to the point that debris was in the top of the trees and hanging from telephone poles nearby.
Oh my gosh.
Fill your cups up. You're going to need it to get to the rest of the story.
Yes.
Oh, cheers, bitches. Bitch, I'm glad we're about done. Because I don't know how much more I can drink.
We might have hit that limit.
My bronchitis, whatever itis I had is gone. Shit done burn it right out of my body. Okay. So police described this explosion as a sound of like lightning striking.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly just this huge plume of white smoke. So simultaneously, it's almost like something getting struck by lightning.
Right.
Like that's how they describe the vibration, the sound, the, you know, the right. Sight, the smells, all that. And like I told you, debris was just.
Yeah, you're not
everywhere.
Prepared for that at all. You're thinking you're going to have a shootout and then boom.
It just fucking blows up in front of your face. Yeah. Debris everywhere. Once the like biggest cloud of smoke goes up, they rush to the vehicle to see what they can do. They immediately see Susie still in the vehicle and the two boys are still in the vehicle. All three are dead. Mm-hmm. Fritz, however, is not in the vehicle. So they look around. This motherfucker had gotten blown, like from the explosion, like his whole person was blown out of the Bronco.
Wow.
So they start looking around and they see him laying on the side of the road in the grass, intact, all together.
Wow.
Which is not what you would expect.
Right.
After
I thought
an explosion
you were telling me
of
his
that
body
size,
parts
right?
Were.
So they run over to him and start asking him questions because obviously we know they're guilty, but we want a confession.
Absolutely.
That we want to know 100%.
So in case you die, we got this.
Yeah. So they're asking him questions and he's not responding. Fritz was just gurgling and choking on his own blood.
Mm, well.
Everything went quiet, and a few seconds later, Fritz died. It was later determined that even though his person was intact, he had, like, massive internal injuries.
Right.
So he...
It was unsurvivable.
It was a lot of internal hemorrhaging, yeah. Susie suffered severe damage in the explosion. It appeared to officers that she triggered a bomb that was stored underneath her seat in the Bronco. And because she was sitting directly above it, there literally was not anything left of her
legs,
bottom half of her person.
Oh.
They described it as being shredded. Mm. The bottom half of her body was shredded.
I would imagine.
I mean,
if
you're
sitting
on top right on top of a bomb. Yeah. Now, the police later learned that it was a refurbished Claymore mine. Fritz had taken it apart and repacked it with dynamite. Now, if you're like me, I don't know what the fuck a Claymore mine is. So I Googled that, of course. A Claymore mine is a directional anti-personal mine developed for the United States Armed Forces.
Mm. Yeah, that, I mean...
So it's still an explosive, but apparently it wasn't powerful enough for him. So he took it apart
and made it
and
even
repacked
stronger.
It with dynamite. To
I
make
just keep
it
thinking
stronger.
About that was one of the charities that Princess Diana worked on was to try to clear minefields from war zones. So that's what it made me think of.
Gotcha. Well, even though both suspects were dead, detectives continued to investigate the case because they wanted to be able to prove conclusively that Fritz was the shooter.
Sure.
That Fritz was behind both of these murder cases.
Yeah, as they should.
And they were. They were able to prove that. Through ballistics, through the gun he had on him, through the casings they found at the scene.
Right.
It was determined that, yes, he 100% killed Dolores and Janie in
Kentucky.
And that he 100% killed
Susie's
Florence,
parents.
Bob, and Hattie in North Carolina.
I mean, that is five people. And then...
And then you have this Bronco that has exploded
exactly.
with four more people. And so you have nine total victims
that
in this
is
case.
Horrific.
Or you have nine dead people in this
yeah.
case. You know, it's fucking crazy. Brace yourselves.
Oh, God. Okay.
The two little boys,
mm-hmm.
Jim and John,
aww.
They were found in the back of the vehicle with their two dogs.
Oh, no.
All of whom were deceased. The coroner was able to determine that the boys had actually been dosed with cyanide. And they had both been shot in the head at point blank range.
Oh my. That had to have happened in the vehicle then.
That's why I said brace yourself. So they weren't even alive during the explosion.
Well, if you've got to find a silver lining.
They had poisoned those children with cyanide.
Oh my God.
The gunshot residue found on Susie's fingers, as well as the trajectory of the bullets, lead police to believe wholeheartedly Susie's the one that fired those fatal shots at her son, at both of her sons.
Oh my God.
She poisoned those two babies.
Yes.
And then on top of that,
shot them
point
in the head.
Blank range, put the fucking gun to their foreheads and shot her own two children in the head. For that reason alone, I hope that bitch
yes
is in a hellish hell.
Yes.
Because those babies
didn't deserve that.
Did not fucking deserve
no.
that. But she was so desperate not to let her ex-husband have those kids.
Like, how evil do you have
that
to
she'd
fucking
rather
be?
Fucking kill them.
Yeah.
Those innocent babies.
See, that's one of those that I hate that she's dead. I wish that she would go to prison and just
and
be
have to
tortured on
every
a daily
day,
basis.
Every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Him too.
Yeah. Also inside the car were multiple weapons, just like they knew that he
right.
had. There was guns, knives, grenades, ammunition, gas masks. Did I say that right?
I mean, kind of.
Gas
mask. There you go.
I don't know. Food, cash, and survival guides. Like, they had all their stocks up, but they still had some guides with them, too, just in case.
Just in case they made it out.
Back at Susie's apartment and Fritz's apartment, more of the same. A lot of ammunition, a lot of guns, and tear gas and dynamite.
Mm.
So they had fucking dynamite in their apartment. In
I
this
couldn't
apartment
imagine being
complex.
Their neighbors and finding that out.
Right?
Especially like, if you had kids and you're like,
yes!
my kid was sleeping next
and
door.
And you have fucking dynamite in your apartment.
Basically an armory.
Yes. Yes. Crazy.
That's run by a crazy man.
In the end, Susie's role in the murders was never truly known. We know Fritz did this shit. There's
yeah.
no question. And we know Susie played a part in it.
Sure.
But did she actually physically participate in the murders? We don't know.
Right.
And we'll never be able to prove it.
I mean, I would just assume she was, whether she was pulling the trigger or not. She knew what was going to happen.
She 100% knew what was happening.
And didn't
she
stop
put
it
him
even
up
if she didn't.
It.
So I would say basically.
But was she there on scene cutting her own mother's throat? Or was that all Fritz?
I think either way, they are both equally culpable of it.
100%.
Yeah.
But I believe.
Was she physically there?
That bitch was there. I believe Fritz killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so in love with Fritz and so brainwashed, whatever you want to call
right.
it. Her mother is the number one stand in their way.
Yeah.
She's the one who's confronted her. She's the one who demanded they stop seeing each other. She's the one that's going to testify against her.
Right.
In favor of her ex-husband.
Right.
So I wholeheartedly believe Susie was there. Fritz killed him, and then she came in and she stabbed her mother. She stabbed her mother, and then she slit her throat. That's fucking savage.
Yeah, that is
savage sick. She's already dead. You're mutilating your own mother's corpse. Right. That's fucking crazy.
I mean, that definitely makes sense. That definitely could have played out like that.
Well, Detective Christie says that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Although there is no proof of that whatsoever. After all this, you know, happened, after Susie was dead, a friend of hers came forward to tell police Susie carried cyanide on her person at all times.
What?
And that she had made the comment several times that if anything ever happened to Fritz, that she would immediately give the boy cyanide and give herself cyanide.
Ah. So they think when the police started following him, that's when she gave him the cyanide. Yeah.
Not only would she not live without him, but she wasn't going to live without the boys either. I mean, she was going to take everybody down. Mm-mm. She made that clear way back. There was so many signs.
What a hateful ass
about
bitch.
Shit to come from this situation.
Right.
She said they were all going down together. It was just a matter of time. She fucking told her friend, we're all going down together. It's just a matter of time.
And her friend didn't say anything.
Not a damn thing until everybody blowed up in that damn Bronco.
That is crazy. But then you also never really expect. I know
them
that's what
to go
people,
through.
But it's
with
like
it.
If your friend right. says some shit like that.
Right. I understand. So our two suspects are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, the two boys are dead.
Yeah.
Through absolutely no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Just a selfish, crazy ass fucking
sure.
mother.
Yeah.
Ian Perkins, the 21-year-old who thought he was helping in a covert CIA operation,
mm-hmm.
ended up spending 4 months in prison. Because he was an accessory to murder for the Newsom family. Because he did drop the murderer off.
He did.
And he picked him up.
I mean, factually, yes, I see that.
It doesn't matter what you believed you were doing.
Right.
This is what you factually did. So he spent 4 months in prison for that. Now, he's got out, never been in trouble since.
Right.
Has gone on to try to live a very good life. Has continuously apologized. Like, this fucked him up for life.
I can imagine.
It fucked him up for life.
Yeah.
And he promised he would never be gullible or naive again.
Yeah.
And he's lived a very quiet life.
Sure. I mean, I would.
Yeah. I mean,
that's enough excitement
him.
For a yeah. lifetime.
It changed
yeah.
him as a person. Tommy Dennis, the officer that was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Survived his wounds, like we know, but left the police force soon after the incident.
Yeah.
And the main reason was, is he still has chills and nightmares over the way Fritz smiled at him before he opened fire on him.
Can't imagine. That would probably haunt my dreams, too.
For the rest of your fucking life.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a traumatic event.
To look at somebody in their eyes.
Like,
and
you see
smile.
Evil and they're yes. smiling at you.
And then they literally shoot you, trying to kill you.
That would
literally.
Haunt my dreams.
Yeah. So, he left the police force not long after that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Tom Lynch, in my opinion, throughout this whole story, Tom is the worst victim of this entire story.
Absolutely.
He'd lost his father through natural occurrences,
mm-hmm.
but then his mother and his sister are slaughtered, and his two children are slaughtered in a horrific fucking manner. They were poisoned, they were shot,
yes.
and they were blew up. How much fucking more could you do? To a
I
human
can't imagine.
Being.
And he fought so hard.
To get them. To
he
get any visitation.
So hard.
But because of her connections, because of her family name, and even here in 2023, that shit still happens.
I mean,
you
look
know
at the
does.
Murdoch trial.
Actually, we're in 2024. 2024
when this comes out, but currently we are recording.
So even here in today's time, that shit still happens. Yeah, in communities.
That's why I said the Murdoch trial. They were all connected.
Yes. Look how they long ran that area. Shit happened.
Absolutely. Yes.
Years and years and years, just because of a family name.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Once Tom was notified of what had happened to his children, he refused to bury them in North Carolina. And I commend him for that.
I don't blame him for that. No.
I don't blame him for that. Yeah. I commend him for that. He brought them back to New Mexico to his home and had the boys laid to rest. For the most part, present day, Tom is a healthier, happier person. But, I mean, he's had years, years of grief and anger that has consumed his life. He is married for the third time, and his third marriage has brought him another child. He's a father again of a daughter. He doesn't know what to do with himself since he closed his dental practice in December. I mean, you got to remember, he's at retiring age.
Yeah.
So he is an old father.
Right.
If that makes sense.
But, you know, hopefully the universe works in certain ways, and hopefully this gives him a chance to
at least raise one child.
Exactly.
He spends his time puttering in the yard, dreaming of getting a smaller house. He wants to downsize. But he also says that, you know, there's constant daily reminders of how much he lost in 10 months.
Yeah.
His mom, his sister, and his two boys.
I can't imagine.
In 10 months, less than a year, your entire fucking family is wiped out. It's like a damn annihilation. And that's why I just feel so
bad for Tom.
Sorry for him. He lost everything. All he did was marry a crazy bitch.
Right. And I mean,
all he did
let's
was marry
be honest,
a crazy bitch.
Most of us have married a crazy bitch
at some point or another. And we could have, if our families or if our exes' families were that tied up in the judicial system and had that much respect, you lose every fucking thing. You get screwed.
Especially being states away.
100% money buys you what you want in this country.
Oh, that's
100%. If you have enough money to pay whoever, lawyers, legal system, you can eventually get whatever the fuck you want. It's just whoever has enough money to keep paying for that amount of time.
Right.
And with it being in her family, she didn't have to pay for it. It was free fucking legal advice. Where he, on the other hand,
states
is trying
away,
to work
yes.
And has to pay for a lawyer.
Not to mention pay for her.
Yes.
Child support, alimony, all that.
Right. So, obviously, I'm pretty empathetic with Tom. I mean, he's lost everything at this point. And he says, quote, "I'm still bitter about the way things happened. My sons should not have been killed." Tom says that he's the victim of frontier justice because he sought help from the courts, but because of his ex-wife's connection, that power and influence was used against him to limit his time with his children.
The good old boys.
And I 100% believe him.
Yeah.
Because money and power talks.
Sure.
Nothing else does.
Sure.
They don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
If
they probably knew what the outcome of that was going to be at a cocktail
before it
dinner,
ever
even
happened. Exactly. Tom said this was 100% evident by the actions of Judge Peter McHugh. Now, he's retired now, but at that time and point, he was the judge overseeing their custody battle.
Mm-hmm.
And McHugh took advantage and delayed the proceedings. And he used this time, this delayed time, to enter a permanent...
We getting there, girl. We getting there.
Okay.
Listener fam is still with us.
He used this time to issue a permanent order, one that gave Tom Lynch less visitation than he had before.
What?
Okay. So Susie's Aunt Susie, the one that's, you know.
Yeah.
She used her connections with the judge.
Oh, no, Susie.
That they pushed this case to a later date.
Right.
And in the meantime, petitioned this whole other order where Tom Lynch got less visitation than what he had before and issued this order without ever informing Tom or his lawyers.
What?
I don't give a fuck who you are. That's dirty.
That is so dirty.
They did that.
And I basically was feeling Aunt Susie doing the damn thing. But
no,
then
Aunt
she...
Susie was 100% behind Niece Susie as far as custody battle.
Wow.
I know. As sad as that is. I cannot imagine as a parent my children being stripped away from me like that.
No.
Just because my ex has connections.
Right.
It's so sad and... Yeah, it's so sad and so scary because I know that shit still happens today.
Oh,
this
sure.
This was in the fucking 80s. Mm-hmm. But here in 2024, that shit is still happening.
Oh, yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
People use their kids against
everybody,
the other
yes,
all the time.
Yes, it's so sad. Tom's argument has been and always will be that if the court system did what was right, mm-hmm. so say this judge had awarded him more time, like he was requesting, would this been able to stop the chain of events that happened? Now, Susie and Fritz, they were going to love each other no matter what. So that's one situation. But if he had his children more, maybe they would have been out of the cousin love and triangle that was going on.
For a little bit.
At least more than they were. Could that have totally changed the chain of events that had taken place?
You'll never know.
Never know.
Because it could have been that just made them even crazier and more determined to do something, too.
You're right.
Because the
You're
courts
right.
did take them away from more.
But still, to this day, Tom Lynch totally blames that judge. He said if he would have given me more visitation, if he would have listened to me, then a lot of people would not have been killed. He blames his actions. He's like, he knows he made a mistake. So he 100% blames
Look, he has every right to feel any kind of way he wants to feel.
100%.
I mean, I agree.
Tom has also questioned all the officers' actions on June 3rd, 1985, specifically the part about them watching Fritz and Susie load the boys into this Bronco.
Yes, that was in my mind. I was going to bring that up here.
Okay, but then you have to remember, they are in the parking lot of an apartment complex.
This is true.
With two children aboard this vehicle.
This is true. But, I mean, and of course, I don't know. I wasn't there, but if they were carrying
suitcases and bags,
right, if they ambushed them quickly before, because if things were in a bag, he would have had to take time to get it out. Could they have been on him beforehand? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know.
But hindsight's always 20/20. So
matter of fact, Tom Lynch called him cowards.
Like I said, Tom has he can feel any way he wants
he
to.
He can. His whole entire family was fucking annihilated. Yeah. He does. He can say whatever he wants. Now, they tried to reach McHugh, the judge. Now, he's retired, but he's a court-appointed mediator, and he declined to discuss.
That's probably his best. I mean, look, he's smart enough to know. It's best to just keep your mouth shut.
Tom also expressed his concern about after Fritz fired at the officer, all the police returned fire. And he wanted to know how they could do that with his children in the vehicle.
Right.
As
that
a
crossed
parent,
my mind
I
when you said that,
too. Yeah, as a parent, I understand that, too. But if the police are shoot, if you shoot at the police,
they're going to shoot back.
They're going to fucking shoot back.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters.
He didn't care at all.
I don't know.
He probably knew the kids were already dead in the back seat anyway.
And Tom even blamed the officers for not arresting Fritz when he very first warned them. But you know damn well, they're not going to just...
As he said, she said. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to have some evidence.
Right.
And shit happened fast. It escalated.
But I totally understand his point. He's like, I tried to tell you.
Yes. And so he has lost his entire family. He thinks they're cowards. Mm-hmm. He tried to tell him. He was right. He was justified 100%. It's just a tragic fucking situation.
It really is.
He has said, all my friends have grown children. Some of them even have grandchildren. That is something I'm never going to get. Because he had this last child late in life.
Right.
So he knows he's not going to make it to the grandfather's stage. Right. He's already in the grandfather's
stage. Yeah.
Now, for Susie and Fritz's families, this was a tragic and horrifying end to a year-long nightmare.
So they said, you know, we knew something bad was going to happen when these two got together.
We knew them and fucking. We knew some shit was going wrong.
Yes. Yes.
We had wind. He wasn't even a doctor. But we didn't know what to do.
I can't believe his father, as a doctor, would know that his son is lying because he was informed and then still allow him to work in his medical practice.
Well, he said it was a family issue, Misty.
No. No, it's not a family. Well, that's not a fucking family issue.
We know that.
The fact that he lied to you, you might want to talk to him about that. But
that's
a
family issue. But him being a doctor,
that
ain't
is
a family issue.
Legal issue.
Thank you. Yes.
Malpractice suits out the ass.
I just think the story is fascinating that you have these families all tied together. They freaking apparently fall in love with each other. They're screwing each other. She's fucking over her ex-husband. He's fucking over everybody because he's telling everybody he's a doctor and a CIA agent.
Green Beret. I mean,
just everything you can imagine. And it's all here local, right in North Carolina.
I can't believe I've never heard of this one.
And if this interests you as much as it does me, look up the pictures. There's a lot of pictures because this was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So we have more access to it. There's a lot
on the social media
of the crime scene and everything that happened that day. And the debris from the blazer. The fuck do I keep saying blazer for? I don't know. The debris from the Bronco. It's crazy. It's amazing.
You said it was up in the treetops.
Yes. And that on telephone poles.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, we are not going to stop the crazy here because next week I'm going to bring you a really crazy. And crazy's in all caps in this one. Okay?
Oh, I'm on that crazy train.
Yes.
Fucking love it.
Yeah, it's going to be gruesome, gory, and just all around horrific. So.
Okay. All right. Well, for all those local residents here in North Carolina, I hope you like that story. I mean, this shit was,
I still can't believe it.
It was all over. We're on West Friendly. We're blowing some shit up. I mean, it's just crazy.
That is wild to me.
It's fascinating. Fascinating.
Well, let's take a shot
for
all the victims, except for Susie and Fritz, because we don't give a fuck about them.
No, I truly, truly, truly am heartbroken for Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine what it's like to lose a child.
No. And
that's
two.
Tragic.
Two at the same time.
Both of his children gone.
And his family.
Yes.
Just.
Yes. Yes.
So for all the victims.
Those babies, you did not deserve that.
No.
Grandma Hattie, you were saying your prayers.
Bless her little heart.
Florence, Bob, all they wanted to do was what was right by those children.
Yes.
They did not deserve that.
Yes.
And then you have Tom's family, Dolores, Janie. Yeah. You didn't deserve that.
No. No. So this one's for them.
Cheers, bitches.
Oh, I took a bigger gulp on that time. Woo! Like some extra got in there. And
it's hot. It's good.
Woo.
It's hot, but it's good.
And I mean, I just spit some too. God. Oh, Lord. Well, on that note, we hope that you keep listening. Be good, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught.
Bye, bitches.
We hope you keep listening and find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Murder and Moonshine.
We would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at murderandmoonshine@gmail.com.